Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Chaim Hillowitz. Maseches Sota has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel Le'ilui Nishmas, Ephraim Eliyahu ben Yosef and Chana Bas Shmuel Halevi.
Soto daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara here in the sugya at the end of the fifth perek compares the Yiras Elokim of Avram to the Yiras Elokim of Eov, and it says just like in Avram, who is called the Yirei Elokim, as the pasuk says, after Avram passed the test of the Akedah, Ati Yodati Kirei Elokim Ata, and that Yiras Elokim of Avram was Me'ava, because Avram is called the Oyev of Hashem, as it says in Yishayo, Zer Avram Oavi, and hence the Yiras Elokim of Avram stemmed from his identification as an Oyev Hashem. Similarly, the Yiras Elokim of Eov was also Me'ava. Now, we're used to the idea that Ahava and Yira are closely connected, many Svarim and Mitzayin, that Yiras Elokim is a prerequisite to arrive at Avas Hashem. For example, the Chovas Alvavos, and the last two Sha'arim of his Sefer, the second last Sha'ar is the Sha'ar HaPrishus, and the last Sha'ar is the Sha'ar of Avas Hashem. The Chovas Alvavos explains why he ordered the Sha'arim in that way. He says, because Chayev Hadin Lahaktim Hayira Al Ha'ava Belokim, that Yira must precede Ava, Neshi Tachlos HaPrishus V'Sofa Rechok, that Yiras Elokim is the end goal, is the most extreme form of precious. V'hakrova shebe madregos el madregas avas elokim. And Yiras Elokim, taking the precious to the nth degree, that's the closest of the madregos to avas elokim. And the Chavos Avavos goes on, he says that a person needs to have precious, he needs to have Yiras Elokim in order to have avas Hashem, because once a person has gotten rid of from his lave all the avas, olam hazeh, kasher yia lave hamam and reik me avas ha'olam, then he can come together to the level of Avas Hashem. So it's clear then that Yiras Elokim is a prerequisite to arrive at Avas Hashem. And as well, the Sefer HaIkrim, in the end of Maamar Shlishi, as well writes, the Avas Hashem is the Madrega HaGdola Shein L'malo Himenu, V'lo Yagia Eleha Adam Im Lo Acher Higil L'Madrega Achrona Min Hayira. That once one has perfected his Yiras Elokim, then one is able to attain the level of Avas Hashem. So we see that these two are related, and in the way the Yira is a prerequisite for Ava. What does Agamar mean? Agamar seems to be referring to a different type of Yira. It says that the Yira Selakim of Avram was Me'ahava. It seemed to have stemmed and been an outgrowth from the fact that Avram was an Oev. What does it mean that the Yira Elokim of Avram was based on his description and identification as an Oev Hashem? So we'd like to explain this on two levels. First, based on the Sefer HaIkrim over there in Maamar Gimel, Perek Lamed Daled. He writes, and a person works very hard to achieve Yiras Elokim. So there are two ways a person can go about that. One way is he's sovel and he's mitztayer. He takes pains and he suffers in order to arrive at that end, at that goal of Yiras Elokim. And he doesn't do it at all b'simcha. That, says the Sefer Ikrim, is not someone who's oyev Hashem, but someone who even through all the nisyonos, even through all of the trials and tribulations, in order to arrive at Yiras Elokim, does it b'simcha, does it from an ahava and a tainog, that person is right to be called an oved mi'ahava. He's not simply Yirei Elokim, but he's Yirei Elokim who's oved mi'ahava. And that's what Avraham Avinu was. Avraham Avinu, who succeeded in passing all the nisyonos, all the difficult tasks and trials that Hashem threw his way. And at the end, he was zochah to the title of Ato Yadati Ki Yirei Elokim Ato, after he passed the last nisyon of the Akedah. That all was a statement about the Avas Hashem of Avram Avinu. Avram, who was an Oev Hashem, he now achieved the pinnacle of passing all the nisyonos of being Yirei Elokim. That means, says the Sefer Ikrim, that his Yiras Elokim came from Ava. That's what our Gemara means. That the Yiras Elokim of Avram came not simply from realizing it's important and it's something which is essential to listen to Hashem and not be Mamre Piv, but realizing that it's something which is a simcha, a tainug for a person to have Yiras Elokim. That level, that type of avoda of Yiras Elokim, that comes from Ava. And only a person who's really an Ohev Hashem can achieve that level of Yira. And that's why, this, if ever explains, he'll be called an Oved Me'ava, even though his title is a Yiras Elokim. But it's called Yiras Elokim Me'ava. He's an Oved Me'ava because it is the way in which he went about showing and achieving his Yiras Elokim that shows his Avas Hashem. So that's the first level of the Pshat and the Gemara here, Yiras Elokim Haba Me'ha'ava, that Avram had, based on the psukim that our Gemara brings. The second level we see in the Maharal. The Maharal in Nesivas Olam, both in Nesiva Hira and Nesiva Ava, explains that there are two levels of Yiras Hashem. And it's clear he doesn't mean the level of Yiras Onesh and Yiras Haromimus. He means even within the Yiras Haromimus, there could be two madregos, two levels. He says a person can have Yira Bitoch Romimus because he's makir, that there's something, someone gadol, someone merumim on top of him. And that gives a certain awe, a certain fear that the person has from this other being, this other presence. But that Yira has no shaykhis ta'ava. That Yira could even be from Melech Basar V'dam or from some other phenomenon or some other person who's gadol mimenu. That is the type of Yira which is the first level, which is no shaykhis to ava. But there's another level of Yira Saromimus. And that's the level that our Gemara is referring to. That's Yira Haba Mikoach Ahava. And it means that someone who is so dovik, someone who is so connected to and excited about being with the Ribbono Shel Olam and having shaychus to him, so then he's afraid, he's fearful to do anything which could possibly cause a division and divergence from between him and Hashem. And Maral writes that someone who loves someone else, he's mechaven lasas ritzonu b'chol asher efsher, shulo ye pirit lezol sa'ava. Ubishvil kach hu yare lava ritzonu gamkein af bedavar katon, ki zeh haya bitol ha'ava. The level of Yiras Haromimus is not simply because he feels he's katon, he's shafel, keneged, the person who's merumam, and gadol kenegdo, but because he's afraid, he's fearful that if he does anything against the ratzon of this other person, he'll lose his ava, he'll be mafrid, and lose the dveikus that his ava is so important to him. And that's the Yira of Avraham Avinu. The Yira of Avraham Avinu, who was the Oyev Hashem, achieved this Yira as a result of his ava. He was able to come to the level of Atiyadati, Kirelo came out at the end of the Akedah, because he had the Ohev Hashem, he had the status of Ohev Hashem, he was afraid to do anything, to move even an inch, to anything that would cause any little bit of pirud between himself and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what our Gemara means when it says, Yira Haba Mitocha Ava. It's a Yira which is not simply Yiras Haromimus, or something which is merumen from a person, and he's afraid, and he's in awe, but it's something which person has so, a chukah, such a, an Ava to be misdabek with, that he's fearful to do anything which could cause a pirud. Maral goes on, he says, that's what our Gemara means in the Hemshech. It says that the schar of an Oyev Hashem is for Alpaim Dor, and the schar for Yiras Elokim is only Elef Dor. He says that these are the two levels of Yira. The Yira, which is simply Yiras Haromimus, without any element of Ava in it, so that's only a schar of Elef Dor. But the person who has Avas Hashem, and that means he has Yiras Elokim built into his Avas Hashem. Because as the Maral explains, im hu nimshach achar Hashem, v'chofetz b'dveikos Hashem mikoach ha'ava, b'vadei hu yare gamkein lava ritzono, shem ze mevatel ha'dveikos v'ha'ava. A person to have full Avas Elokim, certainly he'll have the fear not to do anything to break that Ava, to be mafrid from the dveikos that he has. And therefore, a person is zocher to the schar kofel of Alpaim Dor, because not only does he have Ava, but that Ava is coupled with Yira to say that he has the fear, the trepidation from doing anything which would chas v'shalom break himself with his connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what Argamar means, that the schar kofel of the person who's Oved Me'ava is because he has the Ava plus the Yira. He has the, not only the Yira Saromimus, but he has the Yira Abba Mikoch Ava, that the Ava leads him to the fear, to the Yira, to do anything which would possibly be a hafroda between him and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we see, that's some two levels of pshat, what Argamar means when it says that the Yirei Elokim of Avram was Ba Mitoch Ava. One is like the Sefer Ikram says, that the level of avoda of someone who works towards and achieves Yiras Elokim, b'idaz mitoch simcha, mitoch taino, mitoch ava, that's what we call Yiras Hashem Abba mitoch ava, and he's zocha to the title of being Ohev Hashem, that's what Avraham Avinu was. The second level is what the Maral says, that it's not simply Yiras Haromimus, but it's a Yira to do something which would be mafri, the dveikos in Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's something which comes from Ava. That's what the Gemara means. It's Yira Abba Mikoach Ava, Miha Ava, that's Lashon Mar Gemara, that someone who has the Ava of Hashem, he's also Yari from him, because he's afraid, chas v'shalom, to do anything which would bring a pirud, and that's why he gets the schar kofel, because not only does he have Ava, he has an Ava with a Yira, that the Yira is part in a sif of the Ava, to chas v'shalom not do anything, to break apart that dveikos of the Ava. We'll begin Be'ezid Hashem, the sixth parak, parak Mishakina, which, even though it's a very short parak, it's less than a blot, but includes some of the major yesodos of what constitutes edos and neamonos for stira and for tumah of an isha sota. And Tosus already is bothered, Divrei Maaseh Mishakina, at the beginning of the parak, why this parak is here already, Be'etzem, it belonged. In the first parak, some achronim, including the Keren Ora, and the Rashash want to be miyashiv that because our Mishnah discusses Nemanus and Eidos regarding the Tumah of the Isha, that was something that was never discussed. That's why our parak is placed here. But in any event, our parak, which is the last parak in our Masechta, which is uniquely dedicated to the Nyanah of Sota, is going to be Megala Sodos of the Ne'amanus of Edom on the Stira and the Tum of Anisha as well, as we'll see in Mirtz Hashem Chidushim with regard to under what circumstances the woman who's a Sota can still claim her Ksuba. So we'll begin. The Perek starts off with a case, Mishakinu Ishto Venistira, and then it's Macholges between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua if there is some degree of a kol about the preetus of the Isha. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the case is Shama Me'ofa Pareach, whereas according to Rabbi Yeshua, he requires the level of Ashi Yisu V'yitnu Bo Muzaros B'lofona. Now, there's a major Machlokes Mishonim here. What exactly did the Baal hear from the Of Pareach, according to Rabbi Eliezer, or were the Muzaros B'lofona talking about according to Rabbi Yeshua? What exactly was the content of their discussion that now makes us arrive at the conclusion that the husband has to be motzi his wife and she'll get a ksuba? So as we'll see, there's a major machlokes rishonim regarding this question. We'll start with Rashi. Rashi understands that this machlokes in our Mishnah between Rabbi Elias and Rabbi Yeshua is lishitasam from that which they argued back on Nav Beis. We saw on Nav Beis that Rabbi Elias and Rabbi Yeshua had a discussion what type of edus is necessary to have an edus on stira. According to Rabbi Elias, there is enough to have even an eid echad to be made about this stira. Does not even require a real formal type of eidus. Rashi understands that when the Mishnah here says, me'ofa pareach, it doesn't literally mean there is a bird. It means someone who's not chosid to be an eid, for example, an eved or a shivcha. And that's what Rabbi Eliezer was coming to tell us here, that even if the person who informed us about the stira was an eved or a shivcha, that's good enough because it's Rabbi Eliezer shita that stira does not require eidus. It's enough to have an eid echad, even a puzzle. And for that reason, Rabbi Eliezer holds the woman is now going to become usher to her Baal after the eidus of the stira, and that's why the Baal has to be motzi his wife. Now, as Rashi points out in the Rashi Divrei Maskil Afilu, if the husband wants, he can be mashke his wife, but for some reason, the Mishnah is not discussing that possibility. The Mishnah is discussing the eventuality where he does not want to be motzi his wife by choice, then he has to be motzi, and has to give the ksuba, as we saw earlier in the fourth parak, that if the Baal, for whatever reason, does not want to be mashke his wife, then he has to give the ksuba. That's Rabbi Eliezer here, according to Rashi. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua, who lishitase back in Av Beis, held that stira requires two edim, it requires two kosher edim to be the ones who tell us about the stira. So here, the ofa perech, who's only, as Rashi learns, an eid puzzle of an eved or a shifcha, is not going to be sufficient to establish that there was stira, and as a result of that, make the woman usher on her husband that he'll have to divorce her. But rather, Rabbi Yeshua is discussing a case where there was no formal edus of stira. All there was Yisuv Yitnu Muzaris Belevana. The people were discussing, there was a rumor that was going around that the ladies who sat in the moon would discuss the news that they heard about the stira. And even though that's not formal edus, Rashi says it's Mechur Hadavar, something which smacks of an Avera. And therefore, the woman has to be divorced, and there's no possibility of being bodiker, as Gemara earlier said in Navav, utahirahi v'lo shiyisu v'yitnu b'mizaris b'levana. The implication of Rashi would be that inasmuch as Rabbi Yeshua requires a real tokev of edus to establish their stira, so that which in our Mishnah, the man has to divorce his wife, is not because of the normal halacha of kina v'stira, but rather it's because of a separate miut that the Gemara says that once it's become so widespread that the people are already talking about the news that this woman is a prutza, so then the Torah did not allow the woman to drink, and he has to be motzir. Now, one thing which is not clear in Rashi is what exactly were the Muzaris B'Levana talking about. If you look in the Marasha and in the Keren Ora, they struggle with this question and contemplate different possibilities. The Lashon of Rashi is that the woman had pritzas, and it's not clear if that is referring to just the stira or something beyond that. And the truth is, even if we were to say that the pritzos that the Muzaris B'Levana were talking about included znus, it's also not clear in Rashi, based on what tokef do we say the man has to divorce his wife? As the Meiri already points out, if we don't have edus berura, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that there is stira, it is not clear on the authority of what we demand that the husband must divorce his wife. Now, in addition to this, on clarity, there are many temas which both Tosafos and other Rishonim and the Achronim raised against Rashi. We'll list several of them. First of all, as we already were mayor, why did Rabbi Eliezer discuss the possibility of the man being motzi v'yitnu ksuba? Why didn't he say k'vi mashker? Rashi says if he doesn't want to be mashker, so then he has to be motzi v'yitnu ksuba. But why did the Mishnah discuss that eventuality? Why didn't it discuss a case where the man wanted to be mashker? That's kasha number one. This kasha is raised by the Tosafos Rosh and the Tosafos Shantz. Second question, which the Karen Ora asks, is what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? We already saw back in the Mishnah Daf Beis that Rabbi Elazar ben Yeshua had this machlokas about whether or not you need real edus for a stira, or it was enough to even have an eid echod. So what is the chiddush of our Mishnah is repeating this idea over here in our Mishnah Daf Lamed Aleph. A third problem in Rashi is that it comes out Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua are not reaching the same conclusion. Rabbi Eliezer says, Yotzi Vitin Ksuba, as we mentioned, that's the choice of the Baal. The Baal has the choice if he wants to be mashker. There's normal kina v'stira, according to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that even an eid echad is enough to make stira. So there, our Mishnah is telling us as well, an of pareach, which according to Rashi means an eid pustle, like a shifra and eved, also make stira. So then the Baal can be mashker, or if he doesn't, he's motzi vitin ksuba. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua, he, as we explain according to Rashi, is not dealing with a normal situation of kinev stira. In fact, we don't have enough eidos, enough namanas to make stira. Rather, we have a completely separate halacha of yisu v'yitnu b'mezaras v'lefona, which is in and of itself a miut on the possibility of being mashker, and therefore there's no choice. The Baal has no choice but to be motzi v'yitin ksuba, and therefore it's a little bit strange that the Mishnah would be discussing a disparate machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer is discussing a case where there is stira and there's a possibility of being mashker, and Rabbi Yeshua is discussing a case where there is no stira that we can establish, and therefore there's no possibility of being mashker. These are only some of the questions, among others, which is leveled against Rashi as well. Tosafos asks another question on Rashi with regard to the ksuba that we'll discuss separately. Mirza Hashem will get back to the question of the ksuba when we discuss in the Hemshech the issue of what cases the woman still deserves her ksuba after the stira. So that's the shita of Rashi with the problems which is raised against it. And the next shita we'll discuss is the shita of Tosafos. Tosafos, in order to merviach all of these questions that were raised against Rashi, learns the Mishnah in a fundamentally different way than Rashi on two important points. First of all, he defines the of parech not like Rashi to say that it was edus of an eid pasul, but rather he understands that the of parech is simply a kol, as the Tosafos Rosh quotes the pasuk in Koelas that of hashamayim yolach hasakol means that there was a rumor that was being spread about the preaches of this woman. And the other important thing that Tosafos differs from Rashi is that neither according to Rabbi Eliezer nor according to Rabbi Yeshua is this going to be enough to make a real stira. There's no iser midaraisa, midin, kina v'stira in our Mishnah, according to Tosafos, as opposed to Rashi, who had a real formal din of stira, according to Rabbi Eliezer, as we explained. Tosafos is not 100% clear exactly what the content of the kol was, but it's clear from the Tosafos Rosh and the Tosafos Shantz, in the name of the Rashbam, that there was no stira that had been known to us until the kol started. And then the kol was that the woman had had stira. So therefore the case in the Mishnah was that there was kinoi, and then vinistera, afilu shama mi'of pareach, means, Tosafos in fact takes it the word vinistera, that the stira is now being talked about as a kol ba'alma. And Tosafos says that according to Rabbi Eliezer with regard to the of pareach, or according to Rabbi Yeshua with regard to the nosiv and nosiv b'mezaras v'lavana, even though there isn't a formal actual edus telling us that the woman was mezana, but because there had been kinoi prior to this kol, which is going around, so there's enough raglaim dover for us to put stock into this kol of the of pareach or of the mezaras b'lavana to say that it is mechura dover, and therefore the man has to divorce his wife. Now, Tosafos does not explain to us whether or not this machlokas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, is related to the machlokas we had back in Daf Beis about the edus for stira. Tosafos does not get into that issue. However, the Tosafos Harosh and the Tosafos Shantz quote the Rashbam, who says similar to the Tosafos, a similar mahalach, and the Rashbam explains this is l'shitasam to some degree, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the Torah is so quick to aser the woman, the Torah says as soon as even an eid echad, even an eid pasul tells us there is stira, she's aser midaraisa midin kina v'stira to her husband. So similarly, the Rabbanon were quick to aser, even on a kol dehu, even on a kol of an of pareach, they took it seriously and put stock into the Rogan Madover that was generated from the kinoi and the kol, and they said she's aser even an of pareach. Masha'inkin, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that the Torah had a much higher standard of what it required in order to have edus to make her aser to her husband based on kina v'stira. Similarly, when the Rabbanon were choshish for the kol and said it's mechura dover, they only put stock into the Rogan Madover if it was a serious kol to the level of Muzaris Milavana. Only then does Rabbi Yeshua ask the woman and make it that the man has to divorce his wife. Now, it's very important to point out that one major difference between Rashi and Tosafos is that according to Rashi, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, the possibility of shtia exists. This kol, or this edus, as it were, according to Rashi, of the Oth Pareach, which means that an edus of a shifcha or an eved, is enough to allow us to be mashke the woman. That's what we point out. According to Rashi, the Mishnah really could have said the Baal of is being mashke. Whereas according to Tosis, this is certainly not the case. This is only an Issa Drabonon. Drabonon were mechadesh, that because it's mechur hadover, after the troglaim hadover, on the kinui and the kol, then the man has to divorce his wife. But it's certain, there's no possibility in the world, according to Tosis, of the man being mashke his wife, there's no edus here bichlal, even according to Rabbi Eliezer's way of thinking there's no edus, and therefore there's no possibility bichlal of being mashke. So we see that Tosis has really answered all of the questions we raised against Rashi. First of all, that which our Mishnah is not a repetition of the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shul, it's certainly not the case, even though, as we explained, the Rashbam said that it is l'shitasam, that because Rabbi Eliezer said even a little bit of edus is enough, by the same token, the Rabbanan said even a kol, which is only a kol dehu, is enough, but it's certainly not the same shita. The same question we raised in Rashi, that l'chora, according to Rashi, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are not coming out the same din, the same conclusion. Well, the Tosfos, they really are. They're both discussing what level of kol is going to be enough for the Rabbanan to aser the woman on her husband. And the third question we asked in Rashi, why does Rabbi Eliezer not say that he could be mashker the woman? Well, as we just highlighted, according to Tosis, that's not true. Since according to Tosis, we're only discussing Mechur HaDavar, even Rabbi Eliezer, the woman is not a candidate for Bahashka because she didn't have Eidos Anstira, even Eidos Evan Eidachar, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, the only thing which the Mishnah could have said was Yotzi V'Ting Suba. That's true both according to Rabbi Eliezer and according to Rabbi Yeshua. So that answers all the questions which we raised against Rashi. Now, there is another Mahalach which the Rambam says. Certainly the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos says it's Prat. The Rambam in the Yad isn't quite as clear there. It seems to be a machlokas. It would appear that Dagos Maimini and the Meiri had a different shot in the Rambam in the Yad. However, the Kesem Mishnah and other Mefarshim L'chora learned the Rambam similarly to the way that he says in the Pirush Mishnayos. And as well, the Tosus Shantz and Tosus Arush quote this from Shem Rabbeinu Hananel. And that is that we are discussing that there had been stira, not like Tosis learned, that there was no stira, b'chlal, and all that happened is that we heard the kol of the Oth Pareach, or the Mezaris B'Lavana. Rather, there had been stira. We'll see soon exactly what degree of stira there had been. And then, following the stira, we then heard from the Oth Pareach, or from the Mezaris B'Lavana, about the tumas. Now, inasmuch as, according to Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rambam, we're discussing after there had been stira. So essentially, we're now into the discussion which the Mishnah Nehemshich raises, which is what kind of edus, what kind of kol is enough for us to say after there had been stira that we believe that there had been tumah. And essentially, then, according to the Rambam and Rabbeinu Hananel, the entire Mishnah is all discussing these types of shilas. Then we have an established kinu v'stira. Now, to what degree do we believe a kol or a substandard edus to establish the Tumah of the Isha? And as the Tos Rosh does point out, there is perhaps a raya, a siua, to Rabbeinu Hananel from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi quotes Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Kol Hadein Pirkin is talking whether it's Eidei Stira. The passage is that the entire Mishnah, from beginning to end, is discussing whether there had been Stira. Now the question is, now that the Stira has been established, what type of Eidos or Nemonis is enough to believe that there was Tumah? Toz Rosh goes back and forth and brings other Yerushalmis, which perhaps are kashers or arayas, to Rabbeinu Hananel, but that's l'chora one of the mekoros of the Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rambam from the Yerushalmi. And I saw, in fact, the Gra in Evan Ezra Simon Kufayin Ches writes that the mekor of the Rambam was this Yerushalmi. Now, just as an aside, in contrast to Rashi and Tosfos, who defined the lashon of the Mishnah of Oth Pareach somewhat not literally, Rashi defined it as an eight puzzle, and Tosis defined it as a kol, LP the Pasuk in Koheles. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnah says that the person heard it mitziftzuf ha'of, the pashas being that literally heard it from the talking of a bird, and that's how the Rashash learns the Rambam, that it's discussing what he calls a papagayo, a type of bird that had been taught to speak. The Meiri, slightly differently, understands that it's not from the speaking of the bird, but it's from ofaposa'of, which means the direction and the way in which the bird flew seemed to leave some kind of clue as to what the bird had seen, that the Baal Sama deduced from looking at how the bird was flying around that the woman had been Mizana. So to summarize the three major mahalchim we saw in the Rishonim, it's had to explain here the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rashi understood that this machlokas was a expression of the machlokas that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua had back in Daf Beis, whether for stira we need formal edus or it's enough even an eid echad. And our Mishnah is saying, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that there's enough to make stira an asra woman midaraisa midin kinav stira, even aidein eid pasul. That's why Rashi defined the words of eid pareach. And according to Rashi, essentially, Rabbi Eliezer could have said the husband could be mashka, his wife, but for some reason the Mishnah chose to talk about a case where the man chose to be motzi her and give her ksuba. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua, who had held that we need a high standard of eidos, held that enough pareach is not enough to make a eidos for stira, and rather our Mishnah was discussing a case where there was no eidos on the stira. All there was the nosa v'nosa and mizaras melavana that people were talking about, the pritzas of the isha, and Rashi learned there's a completely separate din which would have impeded our ability to be bodek the woman, idea the mesota, and for that reason, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the man has to divorce his wife. We pointed out the problems that she does Rashi, the repetition of this machlokas. Why does Rabbi Eliezer choose to talk about a case where the man decides to be motzi her, as well as that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are not discussing the same type of halacha. We saw instead the second mahalach Tosfos, who learned that there was a kol, that's how he understood the din of of pareach, to tell us that the woman had been nistar, that was mavur in the Rashbam, quoted by Tosfos Arash and Tosfos Shantz, and the Rashbam also explained this is an extension of the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, that the same Rabbi Eliezer had a lower standard of eidos to create stira as well. The Rabbanan were machmir to say that once there's even a little raglaim hadavar, there's mechur hadavar after the kinoi and the kol of even a basic kol, that was enough to ask the woman and say the man has to divorce her, as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua, who required a full eidos for stira. So by the same token, when the Rabbanan were choshesh for the raglaim hadavar, they required a serious kol of mezaras b'levana. And then the third shita was the shita of the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos and the Rabbeinu Hananel, that we're actually discussing in our Mishnah where there had been stira, full stira b'pashtus, and then afterwards the kol regarded the tumah, similar to the sefer of the Mishnah that discussed in Eid Echad, telling us about tumah, and we discussed the different understandings of what of oreach means according to these shitas. Now, it's important to keep this machlokas in mind, because in the discussion in the Hemshech we're going to have soon regarding the other chelik of our Mishnah, under what circumstances the woman who's a sota can still claim her ksuba, we're going to have to go back and analyze, according to all these shitos, the din of the Mishnah told us that according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, when the man divorces his wife, she receives her ksuba. So let's begin, and this Mishnah really flies in the face of a lot that we learned back in the fourth parak regarding under what circumstances the sota loses her ksuba, and the achronim, as we'll see in Meretz Hashem, have to work very hard to make chilukim between the klalim l'chor we established in the fourth parak and that which seems to emerge from our Mishnah and our sugya. We'll begin with the halacha that the Mishnah says in the Hemshech, that it says that if the Edim, who are the source of the Edus, that the woman is Nitma, is the Chamesh Nashim, what the Mishnah says, Chamosa, Bas Chamusa, Tsarasa, Vivimtu, Bas Baila, what the Mishnah Nivamis calls the Chamesh Nashim, who are considered those who are Bechezkas Sonim to any given woman. These type of relatives, we are choshesh bestama, that they have something against the woman that they're related to. If they tell us, woman was nitma, the Mishnah says, harein lo nemanus, v'lo lepos l'miksubasa, ela shelo tishta, even though a normal eid echad, as our Mishnah said earlier, was enough to pass the woman from her ksuba. And the truth is, this was a mechlok as tanoim, which Yerushalmi quotes, but that's the conclusion of the Mishnah, that a normal eid echad is enough to ask to pass a woman from her ksuba. However, these edos in this case, the chamesh nashim, because they have possibly something against the woman, they are not believed to pass her from her ksuba, only to ask her on her husband. Now, Rivka Eger in the Mishnayos over here, as well as the Beis Meir in Simen Kuf Ayin Ches, and Evan Ezer, ask a tremendous tema on this Mishnah. They ask from the Mishnah we had earlier, Naf Chav Dalad, which we learned that Beis Hillel held that if the husband dies after his wife had become a sota, that there was kinah v'stira, then Beis Hillel's opinion is that because there's no one to be mashker the woman, she now loses her ksuba. And Rabbi Kayeger and the Beis Meir deduce from here that means that whenever there's kinah v'stira, that the woman is usser on her husband as a sota, if she loses the ability, but pastures for whatever reason, to be mevarer her innocence, to prove that she's tahira, she's then stripped of her ksuba. So im kain, their mitoman, the halachir of the hei nashim, dal mihach their edos, even if we don't believe them to the extent to say that there was tumah, just like in eid echad, but once we believe them to say that the woman is tamea to make her usher on her husband and not allow shtia anymore, so mimela, she loses her ksuba, just like when the husband dies, because the woman can no longer prove her innocence by being shaisa, she loses her ksuba, why should man be different when these heinoshim come and say that she was tamea? That's the big tema they raise in our Mishnah. Now, Rekager himself suggests perhaps we could be mokim, ukimta in our Mishnah, that our Mishnah, when it says that she gets her ksuba, means misafik. And the nafkamina will be if the woman is tofes her ksuba. Be'etzem, it's a safik. Every time a woman is a sota, and there's kina vestir, raises the possibility she was mazana, so there's a safik whether now she deserves her ksuba or not. Kol ol, she has not been tofes her ksuba. That's the halacha we learn in Mesuba Alein, that she loses her ksuba. She has no right to claim it misafik, but because it's only a safik, maybe she wasn't mazana. If she will in fact be tofes her ksuba, then she will be able to hold on to it, and that's what our Mishnah means in the case of Tfisa. However, it concludes that this pirish is not Meduk in the Rambam, because when the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchasota brings down the halacha of the Chamish Nashim, he writes, Noteles Ksubasa, L'choritz Mavur, from the Lashon of the Rambam, that even L'chatchila, without Tfisa, the woman is allowed to get her Ksuba. And Mela, the question, the tema remains, and Rekager is Masik with the Tzarech Iyan, what's the difference between Mesuba Alein and the case of the Heinashim? Now, another question which can be raised in conjunction with this is from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi discusses that which our Mishnah says, that an Eid Echad will be mafsid the ksuba of the Itzota once he says that, in his Eidos, he says that the woman is Tamei, and we believe in Eid Echad in the context of Sota, as our Mishnah is Marech, the proof from Adrasha in the Hemshech. The Yerushalmi actually brings a machlokas, Tanoyim, as we mentioned earlier, whether or not an Eid Echad is believed to the extent that the woman loses her ksuba. And the Yerushalmi is mashma that the only reason that the woman, Ilafid Amanda Omar, that the Eid Echad is going to be Namun to Mavsid or ksuba is not because Be'etzem, once a woman cannot drink, she now loses her ksuba, but because inasmuch as we're Ma'amin, we give Namunas to the Eid Echad and the Etzem Tumah, as our Mishnah explained, so who had the Nama, we give Namunas to the Eid Echad about the ksuba. It's a greira, the nemonis on the tuma is also gorer, the nemonis on the ksuba. But the fact that the Eid Echad would disallow the woman to drink, that in of itself would not be a reason to say that the woman will lose her ksuba. And we see this in Yerushalmi in a different context, because Yerushalmi asks the following shaila, what's the halacha if the Baal hears from an of pareach, or he hears from one of the heinoshim, that the woman was mazana, or the woman had stira, according to the different shittas we explained earlier. And now the halach is that he has to be motzi, or he cannot be mashker. And then subsequent to that, an Eid Echad comes and says she was tamea. Yerushalmi wants to know, does she lose her ksuba in that case? Machmas of pareach, or machmas the heinoshim, she would still receive her ksuba, as our Mishnah said. Now there's an Eid Echad which comes and says that she cannot, that she's tamea. So the Yerushalmi is mistopic. Maybe an Eid Echad is not Neman, because it's an Eid Echad b'mamon. Since he doesn't have the Nemanus here, we don't need his Nemanus to ask the woman on her Baal. So therefore, we're mistopic. Maybe we should not give Nemanus to the Eid Echad to allow it to be mafsid the ksuba. Or it's only an Eid Echad b'mamon, and usually for mamon, we need to aid them. So we see in the Yerushalmi clearly that the entire ability of the Eid Echad to be mafsid the Isher ksuba is only because of them, the Nemanus, which is given to him on the Tumah. But the fact that the Eid Echad memela from his Eidus comes out, that the woman cannot prove her innocence, cannot prove she's tahira, that is not a reason to say she loses her ksuba. So if that's the case, again, what's the difference between that and Mesu Balein? Just like a Mesu Balein, where the woman cannot prove her innocence, Memela, even though there's no one saying she's tamea, she can say she's tahira, still she loses her ksuba. Why is it different in Ein Echad? And in fact, Rekhi Eger notes that the Lashon of the Rambam at the end of Perak Aleph of Hilchasota is mashma, that's taka the pshat. In Ein Echad, the Rambam says the reason that a woman after an Eid Echad comes, she says Tamei, loses her ksuba, is Shaharei Nesra Bekina Vistira, Vahashtia Shetatira Nimna Shari Eshbaed. Meaning the woman has an Isser that's lying on her from the Kina Vistira, and she loses her ability to drink after the Eid Echad comes. Memela, the Rambam seems to imply, that's what she loses her ksuba. It's not because of the Etzim Nemanus of the Eid, but it's because the woman has lost her ability to drink. But Yerushalmi is not master that way, as we proved. And therefore, Lefila Rishalim, we didn't understand what is the difference between an Eid Echad and Mesu Baleim. That's another tema which Rav Kager raises. Now, if we go back earlier in our Mishnah to the case of Of Pareach or Muzaris Belavano, which we discussed earlier, the problems continue. There, the halach is both according to Rabbi Eliezer and according to Rabbi Yeshua that the woman receives her ksuba. And we saw that Rashi explained, according to Rabbi Yeshua, The case was that there was no Ede Stira because Rabbi Yeshua held you need two Edim for Stira. Rather, all there was Mechur HaDavar after this Mezaris B'Levana, and the Gemara has a drasha back in the first paragraph, Tahirihi, V'loi Shenosis V'Nosin Bo Mezaris B'Levana, to say the woman cannot be Nivdak Ede the Mayim, Umamela, the Baal has to be Motzi, his wife. Now, as we noted, Rabbi Yeshua says the woman still receives her ksuba. Tosus asks on Rashi, and we alluded to this earlier, why did Rabbi Yeshua say the woman gets her ksuba? Why is it any different from the Mishnah we had in the fourth parak that it says there in Arusa, or Shomeres Yavam, who becomes a sota, there's kina vestira on her, she does not receive her ksuba. And the Gemara there learned from a pasuk that she's mismayed from the ability to be shoisa. What's the difference between that and this drasha of Hutahirihi, which is mamayit, this woman who had the kol going around about her from shtia? Why, in our Mishnah, does the woman yes receive her ksuba? When it comes from Eres Yavam, she does not receive her ksuba. That's the tema Tosus asks. Tosus points out, lefi his pshat, that it was a kol about the stira, but it wasn't, it was only an Isra Drabbanon, as we highlighted according to Rashi. So then it's Beseder. The Drabbanon, when they said the Isra, you should be Machmer for the kol, so then they only said it to make the woman usher to her husband to say that he has to divorce her, but not that she should lose her ksuba. Akadikach, they didn't put stock into the Raglayim Ledover that was created by the kol after the kinoi. But according to Rashi, the implication being in Rashi that it's a real din, that even according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's a real miyat from the fact that it says, Utahirihi, Veloshin, Nosiv, Nosin, Bamazaras, Belavona, so then why does the woman still receive her ksuba? That's the kash. What's the difference between Arusa and Mezaris B'Levana? Even in Tosis' pshat, that the woman had a kol about her, that she has Raglayim Ledover, that she had Stira, the Karen Or raises a problem with Tosis. Why does a woman receive her ksuba? L'char, she should be no worse than Overis Aldas. We learned earlier, Ba'arichas and Nafchafei, that Overis Aldas, who has Hasra'a, telling her, She'ishi Yedoso, does the Aveira of Overis Aldas, she'll lose her ksuba, then she in fact does lose her ksuba. Why, according to Tosis, is this halacha understood? But certainly, according to Rashi, we need to understand the difference between Arusa as opposed to Mezaris B'Levana. And another problem we can raise about the woman's ability to get her ksuba when she's a sota is in the Shittas HaRambam. The Rambam, as we saw earlier, I mean, Hananel especially, learned that the case in our Mishnah was that there had been kinoi and stira, full regular halacha of stira, pishnei edim, and then afterwards, the Oth Pareach or the Mezaris B'Levana told us that the woman had been Temeya. Now, the case of Mishnah already asked in the Rambam, how can Rambam possibly say that there was stira in our Mishnah, and then afterwards Oth Pareach came and said she was Temeya? In our Mishnah, it says a woman gets her ksuba. Why is it any different than any time a woman has kinoi and stira, and then she's not able to drink for any other reason, she should lose her ksuba? The case of Mishnah asked that which Rambam says, that bizman hazet, based on the Gemara earlier, we have enough base, that if a woman has kinoi v'stira, since she doesn't have the ability to clear her name through shtia, she loses her ksuba. Ask the case of Mishnah, what's the difference between a woman who has kina vestira and it's bizman hazen, she can't drink and therefore she loses her ksuba, and our Mishnah where the woman had kina vestira and now after the kol of the Oth Pareach she can no longer drink? Why then is she receive her ksuba? So the Kes Mishnah wants to say a tremendous dochak in the Rambam, but the Rambam said that there was stira, he meant stira al pi eid echad. It was only, it's not a stira that was accepted as stira, and therefore the woman, as things stood, was not liable to drink. She was not going to lose her ksuba, and therefore, al pi the kol, it wasn't enough to say the woman loses her ksuba, as explained in Tosfos. However, it's very difficult to say this pshat, even though the Shulchan Aruch, al pi this havon and the Rambam passes this way, lemaisa, but many achronim, especially the Beis Meir, say this is not the mashmos of the Rambam. They ask, why did Rambam Bechlal mention the stira of an eid achad if it's not important? We pass for stira in each neidim, the stira of an eid achad is not, not doing anything b'chlal, so why would the Rambam even make mention of it? And as well, the Pasha of the Rambam, when he says stira, he means a full stira of Shnei Edim. So essentially, we have three categories of temas in our Mishnah regarding the ksuba. First was the kasha of Rabbi Ke'eger and the Beis Meir on the Chamesh Nashim. Why then does a woman receive her ksuba? Why is it different than Mesu Ba'alein, where the woman cannot drink and lose her ksuba? And similarly, we saw based on the Rishalmi that even an Eid Echad who is master to eat her ksuba is not because she lost her ability to drink, but it's only because of the Etzem Ne'amanas of the Eid Echad to make her Temeya. Why is that different than Mesu Ba'alein, where even though we don't have Ne'amanas saying the woman is Temeya, she doesn't get her ksuba? Number two was Tosis' kasha on Rashi. What's the difference between Arus who, because of a meat and the kra, because of the meat and shtia, lose their ksuba? Why is that different than our Mishnah, where, according to Rabbi Yoshua, the woman is Muzaris B'Levana, cannot drink, yet you still get Sir Ksuba. And then the third kasha in the Rambam, Shaun or Mishnah, who learned that there had been full stira, the Kesem Mishnah's kasha, how can Rambam understand she still gets her Ksuba? Why is it different than a woman, Bizman Hazeh, who after the Kinev Estira, the Rambam says she loses her Ksuba, her as well, after the woman had Kinev Estira, even if there's an Of Parech, which is only a Kol Ba'alma, but still, she should lose her Ksuba because she has no longer the ability to drink. So these are the temas in our Mishnah which need to be understood. So let's go slowly, Min HaKal Al HaKovid. We'll start with this final kasha that the Kesem Mishnah asked on the Rambam. What's the difference between Bizman Hazeh and the case of our Mishnah? So here, many Achronim, including the Mayim Chaim of the Brichadosh and his Pirish on the Rambam, and the Beis Meir over there in the Simon Kufay and Ches, as well as Chidush Meir Simcha and Sugya and many others, they say that no, there's this basic difference between Bizman Hazeh and the case of our Mishnah, that in the case of Bizman Hazeh, the woman knew from the beginning that there was no possibility of Shtia, that since after the Churban HaBayis, she knew she wasn't able to clear her name. And therefore, when she came into the situation of Kinev Estira, there was already a Dechia from the possibility of Shtia. In such a situation, that's what the Rambam concludes, that there's no Ksuba. But in our Mishnah, when the woman had the Kinev Estira, she had every reason to believe she'd be able to clear her name by being Shoisa. And even though the Kol came later, she didn't know that was going to happen, that there's going to be a Kol that was generated al pi her Maisim. And therefore, she can still say, I had the ability to drink when I had the Kinev Estira, and therefore I should still deserve my Ksuba. Similarly, that's the answer some Achronim offer to Tosis Kasha and Rashi. They draw a distinction between the case of Arusa and the case of our Mishnah, where there is a Kol or an Of Pareach. And that is based on what we saw earlier, Tosis, beginning of the fourth parah, Bishem Yerushalmi. He said that according to Beis Shammai, who held over there that a woman who husband dies, in fact, does receive a ksuba, the chilik between that case where the husband dies and arusa was whether or not it was known before the woman had the stira that she'd be able to drink. Beis Shammai there said that because an arusa knows that she's not going to be able to drink because of the miyad hakra, so she undertook when she went into the stira not to forfeit her ksuba in the event that there is going to be edus on the stira. Mashenken, where it's Mesa Balei and Beshamah Hel, because the woman didn't know that was going to happen, she still receives her Ksuba. So some Achronim say that's the Chilik that we can answer for Rashi from Tosis Kasha and Arusa. When it comes to Arusa, since the woman knows ahead of time that she's in Arusa and she's not going to be able to drink, so therefore, the Miyad HaKra tells us she loses her Ksuba. It tells us that she knows already that she's out of the parsha, and once the stira is going to happen, it'll become found out, she won't be able to claim her ksuba. Mashenkin, the kol in our Mishnah, which only developed later, there the Achronim say, Rashi might have held that even though there is a mid hakra, which says a woman is not able to drink, but that won't mean to lose her ksuba because she didn't know it was going to come about, that's what the Beis Meir speaks out, and therefore, the woman can still deserve her ksuba. Now obviously, Tosis didn't hold of this chilek. Tosis held that inasmuch as it's the woman's meisim, it's the woman's fault that this kol propagated. It's not like Mesa Balei, in which she wasn't at fault at all. Therefore, Tosis didn't hold this is dissimilar from Arusa. In fact, he held this is the same as Arusa, that any time it's the woman's responsibility, it's the woman's fault that she can't drink, she loses her ksuba. But that's the answer of the Beis Meir. And other Achronim say to answer for Rashi, the difference between Arusa and Kol is that in Arusa, she knew ahead of time that she's not going to be able to drink. But she'enkein, in the case of the Of Pareach or Muzaras Belavana, the woman did not know it was going to happen, and therefore, she still deserves her ksuba. L'chor, though, this will still not answer the kasha that Rav Ke'egar asked. What's the difference between Mesu Ba'alein, where it's something that only developed later, the woman didn't know it was going to happen, and the case of our Mishnah, something that developed later? So there is an answer which is offered by the Karen Ora, and other Achronim as well, or Marami is such a thing, and that is that there's a chilek between when there is full edus on the woman's tumah, when there's an edus even of two edim, as opposed to simply a kol ba'alma, or even an Eid Echad, as you prove from the Yerushalmi. And that is that so long as we don't have it established as fact that the woman is Tameah, then the woman can still kind of look, I still should have the ability to drink, I still want to be able to prove my innocence. When it comes to Mesa Balein, that possibility has been taken away from her without question, even though the woman can say, I'm Tahir, I want to drink, but because there's no Baal here to be Mashka her, so therefore, irrespective of our Nemanus to any call, the woman's lost her ability to drink. But when it comes to our mission where there's only a call, or even an Eid Echad, which the Yerushalmi was Mashma, that Lule the Nemanus of the Eid Echad on the Tumah, we would not have taken away the ksuba from the woman can say, I don't believe this kol. I don't want you to believe this, Eid Echad. I still want today, right now, to drink. And even though we do believe the kol, even though we are choshesh for, or even we believe the Eid Echad, but the woman can still maintain her position and say, I'm not nidche from shtia, because I maintain that the thing that you're being choshesh for is not true. And since it's only a suffix, you don't have full edus, it's only really a suffix, I still deserve my ksuba. As opposed to mei suba alein, where she was taka nitcha from the ability to drink, and therefore she's not going to be able to claim her ksuba. Now we should highlight the chiddush in what the Kenora is saying, that even though we're discussing a case where the woman is asra midaraisa, midin kina vistira, that was the case of the Chamesh Nashim, or the case of Ve'ed Echad in our Mishnah, there had been Kinev Estira Midaraisa. Still, he's saying the woman will only lose her Ksuba subsequent to that Isser if she's Nidche from the Shtia. That's the Lamda. So in Mesu Ba'aleim, where there is a Dechia from her capacity to drink, then she loses her Ksuba. But so long as she can still maintain that nothing has really changed, I should still be given my right to drink, and even though you have a call, you have to be choshesh for, alib b'de'emes, it doesn't change anything, then she has the right to still claim her ksuba. The Kenora says this is also the pshat in the Rambam regarding the call after the stira. The same pshat is true, that even if there's stira gemura, even if there's stira midaraisa, al pish shnei edim, but still, if there isn't any edus barura about the tumah, there's only a call, there's only a rinon, there's only a rumor, then the Rambam held that the woman still got her ksuba. Now, it's clear and evident that the Karen Ara is saying a chiddush to be mechalek between a dechia of the sort of mesu baleim as opposed to the kol or the eid echad in our Mishnah, especially when we take into account that mesu baleim is not at all the fault of the woman, and yet still she loses her ksuba, whereas in our Mishnah, the fact that there is a kol or the fact that there is an eid echad is lechora something that the woman has to be held accountable for. She, after all, did have stira and was a prutza. Already the base mayor says he doesn't think we have to be machalik between that and mesu baleim. But that's the Karen Ora wants to say, to answer all the questions, that so long as there is no edus barer, the woman can still claim that that which Rabbi Choshesh for is not true. You should not have nemanus, and therefore she should still get her ksuba. The Devar Shol as well has a similar idea. Now, to answer this, the final question between the difference between Mesu Baleim and Chamesh Nashim, if we don't want to say the Chiddush of the Karen Ora, so I'd like to present a Mahalach which the Beis Meir over there in Siman Kufayin Ches and the Rashash, as well as other Acharonim, the Achiezer and others say, but to understand this Teretz, we need to go back and re-examine Tosas Naf Chof Hei Omid Beis. We mentioned this Tosas in passing a few times. Tosas there is bothered in the Shita of Beis Hillel, that says that the woman does not get her ksuba after it's mesu baleim. He asks from the sugging ksubis of bari v'shema. We're all aware that the Gemara there has a machlokas whether or not bari v'shema, the bari is given the nod because of his fact that he has a vatei taina, or not, it remains a suffix. Tosis asks, l'fi the manda omar, that bari v'shema, bari adif, why don't we say in the case of a sota, where the woman has lost her ability to drink because the husband has died. Now we have a suffix, which is essentially unanswerable, and the woman says, Bivados, I was not Mazana, I was Tahir and Anima Ksuba, and the Yorshim of the Baal don't know, they don't have any way of knowing, so essentially it's a case of Bari Vishama. Why don't we say that Bari Va'adif, Lefidman Omer, that Bari Adif, that the woman should deserve her Ksuba? That's the Kasha that Tosas raised. Now, many Achronim are Medayik, why did Tosas only raise this Kasha on the Manda Omer that Bari Vishama is Adif, Bari is Adif? Hooray, we know that the Gemara is Mechalik between what Rishonim called Eni Odea and Nischayafti, as opposed to Eni Odea and Praticha. What that means is that there are two types of debates that the Malv and the Lover, or the Toin and the Nitan, can have. They can say that the Toin can taina that you borrowed money from me and didn't pay back, and the Nitan can say, I'm not even sure if I ever borrowed money from you to begin with. That's what's known as Eni Odea and Nischayafti. I'm not sure if the Chi was ever created. In that situation, there's the Machlokas, whether Bar Vishem or Bar Yadif, or Eno Bar Yadif. But then you can have a case where the Toin says you borrowed the money and didn't pay back, and the Nitan says, yes, I agree that I borrowed the money, but I'm not sure, it could be I paid back. That's what's known as Eni Odea and Praticha. In other words, the Nitan concedes that the Chiev had been created. It's just that he's not sure whether or not the Chiev ever ended, ever was discharged. And that situation, even the Man Amar, who normally holds Bar Vishem Olav Bar Yadif, agrees that there the Bar is Adif because the Nitan conceded that there had been a Chiyah that was created, so then he does not have the right, because of a Taina Shema, to withstand the Taina of the Toin, because he also agrees that a Chiyah had been around. And therefore the Achronim ask, why did Tosfos not consider the Ksuba of the Isha to be the same thing? The Ksuba of the Isha is Shelechorabi, something that the Baal was Mischayvin, to the extent that the woman was not Mezana, the Baal servant was mischayef to give her the ksuba. Now the question is, did the woman relinquish her right to claim her ksuba after the Baal died because she was mezana, because she was a sota? And because we're not sure whether that happened, it should be en yodea in praticha. We don't know if the Baal ever discharged his obligation to give the ksuba that he promised to his wife. And therefore, even if you my number, Bar V'Shem Alapai Adev Tosha had a problem, why don't we grant the woman her ksuba because of Bar Yadev? That's the kasha which the Zachronim are bothered by. And the answer that they offer in response to this question is also going to be the chilek that we can draw between Meisu Ba'alein and the case of our Mishnah of Chamesh Nashim. The answer is as follows, that when it comes to that case over there, Anaf Chafei, that Tosis is discussing, there the man had died, and the Yorshim have the money, and the Yorshim can claim, well, since the woman was a Sota, and perhaps she, even though it's only a Taina Shama, perhaps she was Mizana. So the money that they received from their father never had on it a claim of Iksuba. That Meikara, the moment they got the money, there was never any right the woman had to be claimed a Shibud on that money for her Iksuba, because she had already relinquished it after having become a Sota. And therefore, essentially, that's not considered a case of Eni Odea in Praticha, because the Yarshim are saying, we're not sure if we were ever in Ischaifdu. It could be this money that now is in our Rishus that we received was never Nishtabe to your ksuba because you had already relinquished it when you're a sota. That's why over there Tosas was not bothered. Lekuliam, even if you're an amr bar shem alav bar yodif, because we should have compared it to a case of any odea in praticha. The zechronim say no, it's not true. Since the yarshim can claim that this money never had a chiv ksuba on it meikara, so then it should be domi to the case of any odea nischayafti. And there, there's machogres whether bar v'shema bar yodif, and hence Tosas only asked lefidim an amr bar v'shema bar yodif. However, when it comes to our Mishnah, the man is still alive. And the man certainly, before the woman had become a sota, had been mishabed his money, his nechasim, to the ksuba of the isha. And therefore, in essence, it's more dimi to a case of eni odea and praticha. The Baal is saying, I don't know, maybe you're mezana, in which case my chiyav that had previously existed stopped. I don't know, I no longer owe you the ksuba. But in the event that you were not mezana, then the chiyav that you had until now still exists. And therefore, it's essentially a case of any idea and praticha. B'chiyai gavna, everyone holds bar v'shema, bar yadif. And the mismayor adds, the answer that Tosas answered to that question over there, l'filim ha'namra bar v'shema, bar yadif, will not help over here in any odea and praticha. Tosas over there answered, and we quoted this answer before, that after there was kina v'stira, there was a reglayim l'davar, on the tumah, the Torah took away the right of the woman to say a tainas bari, and Torah saw safek to say that even the woman can only claim a tainas shema, not a tainas bari. And that debate, Smear says, that will only help if we're discussing a case of Enodian Nischayafti, and there Tosa only asks, Lefidaman Amar Bar V'Shema Bari Adif. There we need the strong koach of the tainas bari to be Motzi Maman al pi that taina, Lefidaman Da Amar. There Tosa says the woman has no right to claim that after the Kina V'Stira. But here when it comes to Enodian Praticha, it's not the tokef of the taina, which is Motzi the Maman. Hare, even my number that holds Bar V'Shema, Lav Bar Adif agrees that when it comes to any odea im praticha, that the bari wins. And therefore, it's not because of the etzem fact that the bari is a vadai, it's because the chiyav speaks for itself. If there's a chiyav that everyone agreed exists, and the person who's the nitan is only claiming b'shema, that chiyav stopped, that chiyav was discharged, that's not enough for us to say the chiyav is not need to be discharged now. The obligation still stands, and therefore, irrespective of whether or not you have a strong tainus bari on the part of the toyin, since the nitan can't answer it with a bari of his own, he only has a shema, the chov itself is doresh, that it be fulfilled, and therefore, even if the Torah asa sofik, and you can't have a tainus bari against it, it's enough for us to say that because the nitan is shema, that he has to pay the ksuba. Male, that's the answer as well. In our Mishnah, since our Mishnah is discussing where the Baal was going against the woman, the Baal was alive and saying, I think that this kol is correct, is it echad is correct, is hey nashim are right that you are mezana. And the woman is saying, no, it's not true, I deserve my ksuba. So b'chei gavna, as we explained, that's considered any odea in praticha. I don't know if I discharged the chi of a ksuba that I had originally mishtabi to, if it stopped because you are mezana. B'chei gavna, even though the Baal is saying b'shema, maybe it did stop, because the woman says b'bari, that it did not, she has the right to deserve a ksuba. Masha Enkin, when it comes to Meisu Ba'alein, where the Yorshim are saying it's any odea mischayafti, because we don't know if the money we received as Yerusha ever had in it a shibud of a ksuba. It could be by the time that our father died, we Yorush the money, you had already become a sota. And therefore, there was never a shibud of ksuba on this money. Klape, our possession of it, that's any odea mischayafti. And there, Tosas explained back in Nafchafei, Lekuli Alma, in the case of sota, we don't have the koach of a tanis bari, it won't be bari adif, and that's why the woman will lose her ksuba. We should point out that there is a tshuva in Rivka Eger. In fact, the tshuva is written to the Beis Meir, commenting about this chiddush he wrote to answer this kasher Eger himself had raised. What is the difference between the Heinoshim and Mesuba Aleim? And Rivka Eger says he doesn't think the diak that the Beis Meir is basing his chiddush on in Tosin Af Chafei, that Tosas did not ask Lukuli Alma, because we should compare it to the case of Eni Odea in Praticha, is correct. And the reason Rav Akira says is that Tosas already knew in his kasha that because there's kina vestira, we don't have the koach of Eni Odea and Praticha. And that's because the Cheskas Chiyuv is only going to tell us Lukuli Alma, we prefer the Bari over the Shema, and Eni Odea and Praticha, where there's no Reyesa Bechlal. That Tosas knew that if there is kina vestira, there's certainly a Reyesa in the Cheskas Chiyuv the husband has to his wife on the Ksuba. The only thing Tosas held was that perhaps we should still have the koach hataina of the isha to say that her bari is adud because she's tining bari and the husband doesn't know. But the etzem fact that there was a chiyav, that Tosas knew in his kasha, was mortally wounded after there had been kina vestira. And as found as well in the Tshuvas Igros Moshe, where Moshe makes the same taina that there's no diak from the fact that Tosas does not ask Lamanda Omar, excuse me, Lekuli Alma, based on comparing it to a case of Inei Dan Praticha, because that Tosas certainly knew there was a reyesa in the chazaka of the chiyav after the kina vestira. However, that is the mahalach of the Beis Meir and the Rashash and Achiezer and other achronim, as we mentioned. So to recap this complicated discussion we had regarding under what circumstances the sota does or does not deserve her ksuba, let's try to summarize from a different angle. Hopefully everything will become clear. We had in our Mishnah essentially three types of cases which we see even a woman is usher in her baal and she has to be divorced, she gets her ksuba. One was the chamesh nashim, or if either Yushalmi Eid Echad, that the woman is usher on her husband, but if not for the nemanos of the Eid Echad, the woman would still get her ksuba. Number two was Rashi Shita, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that because there is a din of muzaris b'lavana, the woman is not nivdak ade the mayim, she has to be divorced. However, she deserves her ksuba. And Tosus asked, what's the difference in that and an arusa? And the third was the Rambam Shita, that even though there was stira, there's only a kol, or muzaris v'lavana, on the tumah of the isha, she still deserved her ksuba. Against this, we saw several examples back in the fourth parak of cases where a woman, after she's become usher through stira and she loses her ability to drink, she does not get her ksuba. One is the case of Mesu Balein, according to Beis Hillel. The second is the case of Arusa and Shumeris Yavam. The Mishnah said that she does not deserve her ksuba after she doesn't have the ability to drink. And the third is what the Kesem Mishnah asked, from Bizman Hazeh, that when a woman becomes a Sota Bizman Hazeh, she does not deserve her ksuba. And the question is, what's the difference between the first category of three things in our Mishnah, where the woman is usser, she cannot be nivdak ade the mayim, and yet still she gets her ksuba? And the cases we had in the fourth parak, where once the woman is usser and is not nivdak ade the mayim, then she does not deserve her ksuba. So we saw, to build up the terutz and the chilukan that we made, one was whether or not the woman had the ability when she undertook the stira to get her ksuba, Ayidei being Shoyser and clearing her name. If she knew already Mirosh at the time of the Stira, she would not have that ability. Then she agrees to relinquish her Ksuba in the event that she has the Stira. And that's the Pshat, why Bizman Hazeh, the woman does not have Ksuba. It's also the Pshat, why by Arusa, which Shemaris Yavn, the woman will not have her Ksuba. As opposed to the cases that we had in Arsugya, where the woman didn't know that there's going to be a Kol or an Eid Echad or one of the Chamesh Nashim that was going to come later and tell us that she was Tameya and take away her ability to drink. In those cases, she might still deserve her ksuba. However, that did not explain the case of Mesu Balein, where the woman did not know that was going to happen later, and yet still she does not deserve her ksuba. We saw the chiddush of the Karen Ora, that there's a chilek in whether or not we have incontrovertible evidence or a dechia gemura from the shtia, like in the case of Mesu Balein, did the woman lose her ksuba, as opposed to an Eid Echad or a kol, where the woman can claim you should not believe the evidence that's in front of you, and therefore I still maintain even today my ability to drink. There the woman will get her ksuba. And then at the end we saw the mahalach of the Beis Meir and the Rashash and other achronim that there's a difference between when the woman is fighting the Yorshim as opposed to when the woman is fighting the Baal. When it's fighting the Yorshim, in the case of Mesu Baaleim, there it's bebechinas eni yodea im nischayafti, as we explain, and Tosas on daf chafeyos miyaseid, we don't have the koach of bari adif, and therefore the woman loses her ksuba. As opposed to in our Mishnah, the woman is going against the Baal, there it's bebechinas eni yodea im praticha, as we explained, and there, l'kuli alma, we will have the ability to grant the tainus bari the nod over the shema of the Baal, and that's why the Baal in our Mishnah will have to pay the ksuba, even though there is an edus of an Eid Echad or of a Chamesh Nashim saying that the woman was Tameya. Now, there is still much more to be discussed in the sugi here of the Nemanus of the Eid Echad, especially the inyan of the Hachasha of Eid Echad Ksherim and Psulim, which the Gemara discusses at length in Amud Beis. Mirat Hashem will continue a bit on Daf Lamed Beis to discuss the Geder of the Nemanus of the Eid Echad for Tumah Vesota. And as well, since the sugya that we have here in Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis is repeated Legamri and Daf Mem Zayin, where there the Gemara discusses the same question of an Aedus of an Eid Echad in Egla Rufa, there we'll discuss in Mirat Hashem at length the Inyanim of Hakasha of an Eid Echad Kasher and Eid Echad Pasul in the context of Sota and Egla Rufa, and Mirat Hashem will compare and contrast the Inyanim there and Daf Mem Zayin.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.